This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Pistons were rocking Madison Square Garden for about three quarters. John, they play four in the NBA.
Oh, bummer.
Look, losing game one on the road, that's no big deal. Losing like that, that's a big deal. 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. The Pistons, who pride themselves on defense, gave up 40 points. Mm-hmm. And John, that can't happen. That reinforced every single narrative about this team not being ready for the moment. They're inexperienced. They're not going to win this series. That game confirmed all of those fears for people.
It felt like there was a switch that New York flipped, Detroit didn't have. Mm-hmm. A next gear that they just weren't able to get to. And through the first half, I mean, what'd they go into halftime down two?
It's a close game, one possession. Yeah, something like that.
And it felt like, okay, they're finding their way. They're kind of feeling things out.
Sure,
they kept
in this.
Things close.
It's going to be a fight with them, right?
And then the third quarter happened. And they go into the fourth up eight.
Yep.
And it was a swarming defense. It was high energy. It was all of the things that we had talked about this Pistons team being unique and different. And then the fourth quarter happened. And it's like everything left. Everything went away. And I know Isaiah Stewart's been banged up. And you could see he was visually limping the entire game.
Yeah, trying to gut it out. But he didn't play the last 9 minutes, which is a huge story.
And Jalen Brunson, he was visibly hurt the entire game, but he found that extra gear. And one is not like the other, right? His impact on the game is always going to be greater than Isaiah Stewart's. But it just felt like New York understood the magnitude of the moment, and Detroit was still trying to figure it out.
So the question then becomes, is this a series that it takes a series to learn this and they're going to be bounced, or can they flip the script, win tonight?
Well, the easy answer is yes, they can flip the script. They can learn from what they did. And this is where the experience of those guys that did play well yesterday that have playoff experience, and I'd throw Dennis Schroeder in there. He's been a great add, and I liked how he played. He had some big moments, especially in the third quarter, but it's Malik Beasley, it's Hardaway Jr., it's those guys.
Tobias Harris played well.
That have to, the messaging in the locker room, it's got to come from those guys. It's got to come from JB. He's got playoff experience, but it's the other guys that have to have that self-awareness, mainly Cade Cunningham. I can't wait to the second half. I can't wait to the third quarter to turn things on. Assists were there, but he's got to be the guy when they go on a 21-point run.
Yeah,
that does something to stop that momentum, whether it's a big assist to set somebody up for an easy bucket or an easy shot, or it's him getting some points. That's where he's got to show his superstardom.
The damn shame of it all is you're right. Through two quarters, three quarters, you're thinking, all right, we can go toe-to-toe with these guys. that was part of my thought is I believed the Pistons were on the rise, but I also felt like the Knicks were infinitely gettable. Mm-hmm. And they were. That was right there for the taking. Game one, steal it on the road, get your first playoff win in 17 years as an organization. And, John, they start the fourth quarter. They can't even inbound the basketball. They get 5 seconds. You go, oh, boy. Then a shot clock violation, then a turnover, then a turnover. And it's a 21-0 run. They're taking TV timeouts. JB's calling timeouts. They come back, and they still can't break it. It was a team that didn't look ready for the moment. Now, you turn around. You play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know about Isaiah Stewart, but if he goes, yeah, I very much think the Pistons are in this series.
It's really going to come down to what did they learn from Saturday? What did they learn from getting into the fourth quarter and then, you know, laying an egg? What is it that Cade has to do to either create his shot, get his shot, create shots for somebody else in moments like that? Because he was swarmed. He was swarmed entire game.
And he ended up with 12 assists.
Yep, hello, that's going to happen. I mean, he is the star of the show. For the Pistons.
Yeah. 12 assists is good. 6 turnovers, not so much, especially when a couple of those were in the fourth quarter when you need to settle down. That's the thing. Playoffs, whether it's hockey, basketball, football, we all know, it's another level. And you have to settle down. You have to be able to breathe. They were smothered. You have to settle them down if you're the star player on the team. So some of this is Cade. Some of this, too, is Asar Thompson picking up 2 fouls in the first quarter. And Jalen Duren picking up his 3rd was a real cheapie, and he's picking up 3 second calls, multiple in the game. Like, guys, take a deep breath. Settle in. You're every bit capable of winning this series. Is game 2 a must win in your mind?
Yes, it is. I think they need to get a win. They need to split the series, come home with it even, and they certainly can. It's going to be a matter of how can they put Saturday behind them. How much does it sit in the back of their heads going, hey, we had this 8-point lead. We blew it. They went on a 21-point run. How much can they get over that mental hump to be able to go out there and start fast? And can they play 4 quarters with the style that they've played with all year that mm-hmm. we saw in the 3rd quarter? We saw it at times in the 1st quarter where it is a swarming defense. It's high energy. Are they able to, or did they just run out of gas in the 4th quarter? Could they not maintain that for 4?
This person puts it well. They panicked. Unnamed ticket texter. No, Dan. Dan on the ticket text says they panicked, turned the ball over, took bad shots, couldn't make a shot. It wasn't what the Knicks did. It was the Pistons panicking. So what's your level of concern? Did that game change the way you view this series? 248-539-9797. If you're someone who thought they were winning it, did you see that fear in the back of your mind, they're not ready? Does it change your opinion? Like, you're going to answer depends on tonight. I think most people want to see how they respond tonight.
Yeah. I think we could all agree that Cade is the star of the show. Did it change your opinion of him this year?
No, my opinion of Cade for the entire season didn't change based on a handful of possessions in the fourth quarter.
Is he not ready to take this team to the next level?
I'm not willing to say that. No, I'm not willing to say that after one game. John, I don't know if I'm willing to say it if they lose tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that may surprise some people because you have to respond. You can't let it linger. What if it's a much more inspired effort? What if Stewart doesn't go, but they're down 8 to start the fourth quarter, and Cade hits 3 triples, and they're in it, and they lose at the buzzer? Well, I'm going to say, come to Detroit, win game 3, see what happens. You get what I'm saying? Like, if they have another one of those, if I get, hey, Stewart's done for the series, all right, then we can just be done here, but I'm not going to write them off if they're down 0-2 and they play a much more inspired, competent, less panicked game.
Yeah,
I won't write the series over. What's the cliche? The series doesn't end until the home team loses?
No, it doesn't start.
But yeah, it doesn't start until the home team loses?
Yeah. So, tonight.
I mean, yeah.
It's got to be.
The pressure's still on the Knicks in that way, isn't it? Because if the Pistons steal tonight, you got to go to game 3 in Detroit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I hear what you're saying. I just think this needs to be a moment for it's almost that coming out moment, not just for the Pistons, but for Cade. This is, and I know that there's more guys out there than just Cade, but if he wants to be seen as that superstar and not get overlooked for postseason awards, same thing with JB. Mm-hmm. How do you prepare this team?
Pistons drop game 1 to the Knicks. I don't think they're going to be surprised by that. But how they lost the game, bothers people, and it should bother people. 21 unanswered points. They give up 40 in the fourth. Bunch of turnovers. They couldn't inbound the ball. Shot clock violation. Immature, not ready for the moment stuff. And that's the concern. Because if that's the tenor of the series, four or five Knicks are going to be out of here.
Well, it's... I don't know that it's a huge surprise that they lost game one.
No.
It's just disappointing because they went into the fourth quarter having done all the hard work.
They were right there.
They set themselves up for success. And then in the span of 3 minutes, it felt like it all fell apart. There was nothing that they could do, or at least nothing they did do, to stop the momentum of the Knicks.
Look, if you think their inexperience is terminal, that in and of itself means they can't win the series, then you got all the confirmation you needed.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment. All so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
One game to me is not a trend. I want to see how they play tonight. Even if they lose, I know you've said must win. Even if they lose, but it's a composed loss on the road, come back to Detroit. I need Isaiah Stewart to be healthy.
It'll be a moral victory.
No, I'm saying the series won't be over, John. They'll play the games.
Yes, they will play the games. They're supposed to at least play a minimum of four.
You tell me Stewart's not compromised. You tell me they play more composed. I'll say game on. I told you it was going seven. So I don't want to be overreact Jim today and play the funeral music and say, well, they're just inexperienced, so the season's over. One game is not a trend. I still have Cade. I still have a team that looked the part for three quarters. Give them a chance to get over the hump tonight. Now, I think a big part of this is what is Isaiah Stewart's status, because Jalen Duren was a problem.
Well, Jalen Duren was a problem because he got three fouls in the first half, and then it felt like he couldn't be himself in the second half, and he never was.
He's getting 3 second calls. He's a minus 20. Like, hey, you got to get in better position under the basket. Deep breaths. 248-539-9797. Let's get to the phones. Let's get to Kevin in Garden City. Kevin, good morning.
Hey, man, good morning, man. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I greatly appreciate it. Got a few quick points, man. I'll get to them right away. Number one, not really disappointed. I'm not disappointed. I'm glad that the Pistons fought the way they fought for three hard quarters. But as we all know, dude, that's job not done. You got to pour in one more quarter. Mm-hmm. Number two, Cade is learning, man, and greatness takes disappointment. He's going to be great. We can all agree he's not a great player. He's an all-star. Yes, he is. But to be at the level where we need him to be, these disappointments have to happen. So I'm kind of glad they took the L like they did. The last thing I wanted to say was, look, we got to get rid of the shimmy. Come on, B. Stop doing that, at least until the game is in the bag. Stop shimmying. Act like you ain't never shot a three-pointer before. Can we please cut that out? That's all I got, guys. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. John, what's your verdict on the shimmy?
I'm fine with it.
Me too.
You could tell that the team feeds off of it, and he hits big threes.
If he had made, and he had some big ones early to settle them down, it was like 10-3, and they were struggling. Yeah. He hits a big one. All right, deep breath.
Did you hear on the broadcast that he has rules?
No.
Of when and when he can't, or how long the shimmy can last.
Was this on the? Because I watched
the TV broadcast.
So I watched the Blaha version. Was this the ESPN?
Yeah, it's the ESPN version.
Okay, what are his rules?
It's so JB apparently has told him that if it's a three-pointer and play is still going on, it has to be a quick shimmy, and then you're back playing defense. If it's followed by and causes the other team to stop play and call timeout, then it can be a prolonged shimmy celebration.
Okay, the shimmy can go for...
Yes, yes. Which I thought was interesting, right? Because I think it is something that he has had. He's hit a number of big threes. And in the third quarter, when he hit the one in the corner that did cause a timeout, it was huge momentum. I think they went up by, it was either 8 or 9 at the time.
Here's the problem, though. Like, I'm not mad at the shimmy. I wanted him to shimmy a couple more times in the fourth quarter because it would have meant he made a couple. I think he was 1 of 4 in the fourth quarter, and a couple of them were during that 21-0 run. And if it's, instead of being 15-0, it's 15-6. You go, okay. We're weathering the storm. We're hanging in. We're going to have a shot at this thing. But they collapsed. There's no other way to put it. Some ticket techs. They looked wholly unprepared at the end of the game for playoff intensity. Says, if they can't steal game two, they'll be swept. Bickerstaff had to call another timeout in that run. He let it get out of control. While they were very much in it, I put it on the coach. I could go back and look, but I remember thinking they only have one timeout left. They can't possibly take another one. They had multiple, whether it was TV timeouts or called timeouts, to take a deep breath and settle down. I don't think it's an issue of needing one more timeout. They needed to pull themselves out of it, and they just didn't. I put the loss on Cade. Got outplayed by Brunson. Needs to step up. That's Tony in Marine City. John, some truth to that?
I think there's a lot of validity to that.
Cade is great. He's only going to get better, but some of his turnovers are like watching my son's fifth grade basketball team. Why would you even attempt that pass? And could you put a little effort into the pass? He looks careless at times. Texter says, New York stole a game at home. I'm not worried at all. Texter says, I thought Knicks in 6 or 7. I don't think they're ready. Now I'm thinking Knicks in 5 or 4. So that's how it changed the series to him. Knicks cracked up the defense, sped up the Pistons, couldn't handle the pressure. They looked and felt panicked. And a ticket texter has an interesting person to blame. In addition to the turnovers, they want to blame Spike Lee and his spilled drink. How long did that take to mop up? It's going on forever.
Yeah.
I can't panic about the Pistons until I see how they respond. Memphis got run out of the league last night, and that helped me feel a little better. Some of the blowouts over the weekend.
Yeah.
How appropriate is it the Pistons lose Isaiah Stewart right when the playoffs begin? Thanks for a great regular season, Pistons. Knicks in 4, signed Jim. And when it comes to the Pistons and the NBA as a whole, that game showed why you only need to watch the fourth quarter. First three really don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas and Royal Oak.
I thought that Cade, I was expecting Cade at some point in that 21-0 run to step up and be Cade. And when he did, again, it's not a referendum on him. He has to do that or he's not a great player. He's a great player. He's a young player. It's his first playoff game. But today has to be different.
To your point, if he gets to the cup and forces a foul or finishes at the rim and just, you see the ball go through the hoop, you settle your team down. And some of this is they were doubling him. And he made a lot of the, quote, right basketball plays en route to 12 assists. But in the fourth quarter, he didn't get the ball to his teammate. He gave the ball to the other team. And it actually made that run more pronounced because now they have numbers. Now they score. And I'm waiting for the graphic. 15-0, 17-0. 21-0 run. It snowballed in a hurry, and he was part of that. He has to settle down. And I'm not, to your point, it's not a referendum or an indictment, your first playoff game, that you're not settled down. But if he's not, they're not advancing. Series will be over, to the ticket texter's point, before we even get to game 6, which is what you thought Pistons in 6. I thought Pistons in 7. We won't get there if he's not settled down.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.